Let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Read here about the 12th and 13th verse. Again, we desire your prayers. Brother Ed Wilson got up to preach here some time back, and he said, I have an interest in your prayers. And he said, if you was up here, you would too. So I feel the same way as Brother Ed this morning. I need your prayers. I need the Lord. 24th chapter of Matthew, and about the 12th verse, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. All right, the 10th chapter of Matthew. 10th chapter of Matthew, and about the 16th verse, reading. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. You should be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And a brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father of the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you to another, for verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now, I want to deal on a subject of endure. Now, I know we've been talking about shouting and praising and rejoicing, and I believe in all that and do it. But I'm going to put it down today where the rubber meets the road, folks. There's going to be times you're going to have to flat endure. It ain't always going to be easy. There's going to be times there's going to be tears and hard spots. There are going to be times maybe you can't get out of bed. Like the one sister's talking about, I'll never walk again. Well, the Lord is a great God, but still there's going to be times he's going to allow things to come our way. Just like it's saying here, you're going to be brought before men and governors and kings for testimony, and they're going to deliver you up, but don't take no thought or whatever. The bottom line is because he's going to be there to help you. He's going to be there to strengthen you. He's going to be there to bless you and to say the things that need to be said. She said, I couldn't think of anything to say. The only thing I think is God is greater. However, she said it. God is greater than anything, any problem, any trouble you and I have. He's greater than that. Praise God. And he's able today to touch you and to heal you, to bless you, to lift you, to do anything that you need him to do. So consequently, he is able. But he said, but he that shall endure, he that shall endure, and because iniquity shall abound. Now listen, folks, I may be wrong, but I don't think I'm too off the mark. We're in one of the most iniquity ages that's ever been. Children's killing their parents. Parents are killing their children, one another. And Molly and I was talking here recently, and I said, I've not seen anything like it. It gets worse and worse and worse. The first mass shooting that happened basically in the United States was in Edmond, Oklahoma about 30 years ago. Right there at the post office in Edmond, Oklahoma. And the postman that had been our postman for several years was 2 weeks away from retirement. He saw what was happening. He ran outside. He climbed up under his car to get away from the gunman. The gunman saw him. He bent down and fired at him and killed him right there. We live in a bad age. We live in a dangerous age. But Lord, help you and I to be willing to endure, to be willing to do what the Lord would have you and I to do. All right, let's go to 102 of Psalms in the 12th verse, 102 and 12. Said, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her, yea, the set time to come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. dust thereof, so the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. All right, let's go to 72 of Psalms and collecting with this, 72 and 17. He says, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. All right, let's go to Hebrews 12 and 1. Hebrews 12 and 1 and 2. It says here that, wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured.
Right. Amen.
Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Jesus didn't have everything rosy-posy. He endured some things. He endured things that we probably will never endure. The pain that he endured, the anguish and so forth, he endured those. But thou, Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. But thou, Lord, shall endure. I'm thankful today that he set a pattern for you and I that we should follow in his steps. He endured. So he wants you and I to endure. If he can do it, we can do it. Is all we have to do is follow on close to him. You know what happened to Peter? You know why Peter denied the Lord? The Bible said he followed afar off. He got too far back. He should have been closer up. Lord, help you and I. When we're going through the hard times and the places that looks like maybe it's going to be hard to do and you're going to have to endure a long time, the thing to do is to get closer to the Lord. Not move back, not run away, not step aside, but get real close to God. Come closer, my child, to thee, the psalm says. He wants us to get close to him. He wants us to pull off him, to draw off him. Listen, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You and I can pull off of him. The Lord gave me a message here recently. My grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for you and I. And so consequently, if we will pull from him, we will be able to endure and to go on and to do the things that the Lord would have us to do. There's people that go overseas and travel. And Brother Michael and different ones go to Africa and places. They go through some things. Brother Doug, I read about what these brethren go through. And I told myself, I thought, there ain't no way I could do that. I'm too old now to do what you guys do. I'm not saying I couldn't go over there, but somebody told me, said, the last thing you need to do, so to speak, is go over there. You don't need over there. Your body is not can handle what that Brother Clifford and Brother Doug and Brother Michael and some of them do. But here's the thing. There's going to be times that we're going to have some things right here. You don't have to go to Africa to have it. You don't have to go to India. You don't have to go to Old Mexico. You can have it right here in the United States. But the God is God everywhere. He holds, he works, and he's able to help you and I. As all we got to do is draw an eye to God. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 1 and 25. Endure. Are you having to endure some things today? Oh, the Lord help us to endure. He that shall endure in the end, the same shall be saved. Now then, it doesn't say go down as a football team, go down to the 1 yard line and quit. It said unto the end. You got to get into the end zone, so to speak. Go all the way. You can't quit. You can't back up. You can't let down. You got to hold on. There's a man by the name of Lorenzo Dow, was a preacher many years ago. He was holding a revival meeting, a Brush Harbor meeting. And one night he stepped out from the pulpit, stepped out the edge of the deal, and he leaped up and he grabbed the lid and he said, hold on, Lorenzo, hold on, hold on. And he dropped down and he said, that's my message. That's probably one of the shortest messages that's ever been preached, but it's got a strong thing about it. Hold on. Endure. Go on. Don't quit. You can do it. The Lord will help you. Okay, 1 Peter 1 and 25. It said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which the gospel, which by the gospel is preached to you. John 6 and 27. Now then, the Lord's going to endure. He endured some things. He went through some things. But he has got a word. And it said here in John 6 and 27. It said, heaven and earth, one place said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. 6 and 27 of John says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And then Hebrews 4 and 12, Hebrews 4 and 12 here, it said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing center of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that doth manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast. Hold fast, hold on, endure our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Let us therefore come boldly. Listen tonight. The throne of grace is a place that is set with the mediator, with the Jesus Christ, the one that endured the things that he endured, the pain that he endured, the agony he endured. He didn't quit. He done it for you and I. He went through this life where he would know how to help us when he got there. So consequently, he's sitting there and he's saying, I understand, child. I know what you're suffering, child. Here's some grace. Here's some healing. Here's some blessing. Listen, folks, God is a God. At 3 a.m. in the morning, 2 a.m. in the morning, there have been times I have endured pain all night long. I didn't even sleep much last night. I was from the recliner to the bed, back to the recliner, back and forth. And just back and forth, my leg was hurting so bad I couldn't get no sleep for a long time. Finally did. But the bottom line is, Jesus Christ is on the throne of grace, sitting on the right hand of God, and he's there for you and I to help us when we're enduring these things. Endurance. You know, there's people that train for years in running endurance races. They have auto races, that's endurance races. They have boat races, I guess these sailboats. I've read about them a lot in South Carolina because they either started over there or ended, whatever. Anyway, they were races that they get out on these sailboats and they go for a long time over several areas and go through hard places. But then, folks, there's the endurance of all endurance. They call it the Iditarod sled dog race in Alaska. I was privileged to go to the headquarters of that when I was out there in 2015. And I never followed the Iditarod much. I mean, I heard Paul Harvey talk about it, a different one, but it didn't pique my interest too much till I got there. And there's a big, beautiful building, and I'm walking up, and there's dogs, statues of dogs on the left side, so I'm looking at these dogs. Well, there's things on the right side Carl never even seen. So I walked up, went inside the building. There's a couple of women in there, maybe a man. And we started talking and visiting. They said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Oklahoma. You are? Yeah. Said, the man that's the father of the Iditarod race was born in Kingfisher, Oklahoma. They said, didn't you see it when you come in? I said, no. And well, it's right out there. Well, I didn't see it. So when I went back to my car to do something, get some money or something, and I come back in, I was looking left, and his stuff is all on the right. That's the reason I didn't see it. So I got in there and talked to it. But those people that run in that race endure things. It's not like you've got a car around you. It's not like you got a boat around you. It's like that you're facing horrible wind of 50 degrees below zero, and you're marching these dogs, and the winds are howling, and the snow's flying, and the parable of whiteout condition. One man said one time he was totally in a whiteout, and he was going in circles. He didn't even know where he was at. You know what the dogs do when they shut them down for the night? They got some nice little dog houses for going heated. No. They dig them a hole, and they climb down the snow, and they go to sleep. And if it snows enough, it covers them plumb up. And then they said, you want to see something cute, is when they go, Abraham and Jackson and John, get up! And said, their nose start popping up through the snow. And said, here they come. They just rise forth. There's animal rights activists that's against the Iditarod. But them animals were bred, born and raised to run in races. In Alaska, mind you, in one of the coldest places in the United States, were born and bred. They train them for weeks, for months, for years, and they run and they run and they run and they run. But it's an endurance race, and it ain't only the hound dogs or the sled dogs. It's them people that's running that sled. They go through a lot of tough stuff for 1,000 miles. 1,000 miles, that's nearly as far from here to California or nearly as far from here to the East Coast. The Iditarod. The Lord has an endurance race for you and I. We didn't get in this just for all smooth and roses and petals and all the good stuff. We got in this to endure some things, because as we're enduring, there's people out there that's looking at us and watching us. And they're thinking how they do it. It ain't us, folks. It's Jesus Christ the righteous. The Lord is giving the strength. The Lord is giving it. When I had my first sciatica in 1996, we were on a job, and the woman there at the house, she goes, Rebecca, said, what's Carl taking for pain? And she goes, he's not taking anything for pain. She goes, he's not? No. I couldn't do that. Well, you and I can't do it except for Jesus. Yes. Those special touches at 3 a.m, 1 a.m, 2 a.m, those special times that Jesus comes down, we're not only enduring, but while we're enduring, we're learning, we're deepening. Listen, some of the most greatest times of blessings and glory, if you want to call it that, had been given to me right in the depths of bad affliction. Out in South Carolina, no, not in South Carolina, in West Virginia, why so bad in 87. One night, the Lord come down. And he come down and he filled me. I thought I was going to explode, and I was shouting and I was crying at the same time. And Rebecca was in the kitchen with Sister Sammons, and she got up and she came in there and said, you all right? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, the Lord just passed by in a special way. He come by. He was blessing me. Listen, if you want some real blessing, endure something. Allow Jesus to come by and spend some time with you. Praise God. Deepen you down. Open up and irradiate the things that you need him to teach you in the depth of the scripture. Listen, these things are learned through suffering. You don't learn them through the easy times. You learn them, a lot of them, through suffering. The Lord suffered. He learned things. He learned obedience by the things he suffered, the Bible said. So the Word of God is going to endure. The Lord is going to be there. All right, let's go to Hebrews 11 and 23. 11 and 23 of Hebrews, where it said, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he's come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had recompense and the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. For he endured as seeing him that is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to go were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. He said here, he said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had recompense unto the recompense of reward. But he said, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him.
Praise the Lord.
That is invisible. Who was that? Jesus. You want to see Jesus? You ought to know him a little bit better? You want to get real intimate with him, if I may use that word, real close to him? Have a more deep knowledge? You need to see Jesus. This is where you can see him at the greatest depths, in seeing that he suffered, and he's going to call you and I to suffer and to endure some things, and consequently we're going to endure by seeing him, looking at him, following him, talking to him, praying to him, whatever, fasting, whatever you need to do, right in the midst of it and pouring it out.
Amen.
He endured. You can endure by seeing him. This is what you're going to have to do, is see Jesus. Seeing Jesus. John 14:19. John 14:19. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, today. Because the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. I'm alive. I'm alive today in 2018. I'll be alive in 2019 and 2020 and all down through the ages of eternity. I'm always going to be there. Praise God. I'm there for you right now. I was there for them back there. I'm going to be there for all the ages to come. Praise God. I'm going to be there because I am Christ. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Listen, folks, today, he is the one that started your faith. He's going to end your faith and he's going to bless you in between. Praise God. I endured. The reason we could go on because he's right there waiting. When Stephen had his problems, the Lord went off and hid in the corner, didn't he? He went off, just hid somewhere, didn't he? And poor Stephen there, but Stephen looked up. Stephen looked up and he said, I see him. Standing on the right hand. Listen, folks, if Jesus needs to, he can still stand, praise God. He has all power in heaven and earth. He's able to help you. And if he needs to, he can stand up in 2018. He's not short of power today. The blood's not short. The healing's not short. Everything is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's for you today, praise God. But you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to endure a little bit. Oh, seeing Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that's some of the greatest, most wonderful times you can have, is seeing Jesus. Genesis 33:11. Genesis 33:11. I'm thankful today that I've seen Jesus. All down through the ages. 33:11 here of Genesis. It said, take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God had dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it, and he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said to him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I'll lead on softly according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children shall be able to endure until I come unto my Lord and see her. And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the folks that are with me. And he said, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. Now then, he says here, he said the young. The Lord knows the young. He took a child, didn't he? He set it on his lap there. And he blessed that child. Listen, folks, he's still taking them on his lap and blessing them. There had been times in meeting that children would be in pain. We literally have shut down the service or stopped the service or stopped the singing, whatever. And we've anointed and prayed for those children down through the years. And what happens? Over and over, I've seen the Lord stop the pain, stop the crying. There's a young man that wanted to be in this meeting, and I don't know if he's going to get to be here or not. His name is Joseph Daniel Gillenbeck. And when I started pastoring and serving here as pastor, Joseph Daniel was a little thing, real little. And he was on a bottle, and he was teething. That's how little he was teething. And Brother Dan would call me at maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I could hear the child screaming in the background in pain. Please pray. We'd get up and we'd start praying. And in 30 or 40 minutes, I'd call back. He's doing fine. He's taking a bottle. Doing fine. He's sipping some juice or whatever it might be. His pain's quit. This happened over and over. I think that child had more teething problem than any child I've ever been associated in the ministry. But God answered prayer. That was his child. And look at where he's at today, praise God. He's blessing him and using him in the things of God. Listen, folks, today the Lord knows the tender, the little, the children, and he's right there to bless them, praise God. But you parents are going to have to endure a little bit as you go along. It ain't always easy to be a parent. There are some hard spots in there. There are some times when you won't be sleeping at night. There are some times when there's going to be pain and anguish. Mark 10 and 13. I believe basically what I've been talking about. Yeah, he brought the young children. He touched them. The disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, suffer the little children to come unto me. I want them, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Brother Gordon Humphreys was sick one time, had a burden to go to the Akron, Ohio meeting. He was living in Kentucky or Ohio, somewhere up there. And he was sick, and John and Rita were small at that time. And John come in there and said, Daddy, I'm going to pray for you that you can go to the meeting. He said he laid hands on him and prayed for him. God touched him instantly. He got up, and away they went. Praise God. Listen, the Lord uses children. He blesses children. He takes care of children. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now this is charity. Lord help us. As a body, that we'll have enough love for Christ and for the body to endure some things. Does anybody ever rake you a little bit? Or maybe you're not so wild about their personality. One person said that, a minister, it's been a number of years ago, he said, they let me know that I kind of rubbed them the wrong way. He said, I ain't told them they rubbed me the wrong way. Listen, two shoes here, two feet, so to speak. Listen, you've got to have enough love to endure with the other people. You've got to have enough love to endure with the Lord. Let him have his way. Lead God direct. He may send you out into some things, and in that you may have to endure some stuff. Paul and Silas and them, when they went out, it always wasn't roses. They got in some places where people were coming against them. They ended up in jail. They had all kind of problems. But the bottom line, the Lord was still working. But Paul and them had to endure some things. You and I are going to have to endure. But Lord, help us to have enough love. How much love we got today? Do we love the Lord enough that we're willing to endure some hardship for Him? Now, a marriage vow says for better or worse, richer and poorer, in health and in sickness and so forth. If somebody gets sick, you don't just throw them out the door and leave them. You love them. You help them. You take care of them. You help them get back on their feet. You go some more. Well, the same thing with the Lord. In a sense, we make a vow to God when we're giving all to God. We make a vow to Him that no matter what, Lord, I'm going to live for You. I'm going to trust You. I'll die for You. I'll do whatever I need to. I may have to endure some things. Now listen, folks, I'm preaching on Carl this morning too. It's not always easy being a saint of God. But I'm going to tell you today, Lord, help us to love Him enough to endure for Him. To endure what He wants. And I'm going to say something else too. Companions, love your companion enough to endure with them. Because if one's going through it, the other's going through it. There's pain, there's anguish. It's not just one-sided in this deal. Part of the time it could be. But I'm going to tell you, there's times that your companion is sick and you've got to endure with it. Old Brother Lewis Kimball said one time that he was sick and he was needing his wife to come in there, and he kind of raised, tried to get her attention, and she goes, "What's wrong with you? What are you hollering about?" "Well, I need you. You wasn't coming." Well, kind of bothered her a little bit. But the bottom line is, Brother Lewis was sick. He needed some help. Listen, when we're sick, the Lord's ears are tuned to you and I. He's listening. He wanting. We might have to moan and groan. We might have to cry a little bit. But He's right there. His eyes are over the righteous. His ears are what? Opened under their prayers. He's listening. He's saying, "I love you, child. Hold on down there. Just hold on now. Endure a little bit longer. I'm going to help you." There had been people that has endured for years and years. Well, I'll ask you a question. How long did Job endure what he endured? Anybody tell me a time? Well, it's quiet now, Brother Michael. Well, I heard Brother Ed say this, and when he said it, I was stunned. But he said that Job went through what he went through for 30 years. No. 14 years. And I was stunned. We met for dinner 2 or 3 days after that and was discussing some things. And I said, "I got news for you. Where'd you get that at?" I said, "I've read and studied, and I've never heard that." He said, "Well, so-and-so and so-and-so." Right now, I can't even tell you what he told me. But the bottom line was, he went through some things. He endured. Those old-timers endured some things. It wasn't always roses for them neither. He was a perfect man, one that eschewed evil and lived close to God. But the bottom line was, he still endured. Listen, folks, the closer sometimes we get to God, the more the Lord's using us and blessed us, and the more we're liable to have to endure some things. Just because you're a saint living right next to Jesus don't mean it's always going to be roses and smooth roads. It can be a little bit rocky. All right, let's go to Psalms 30 and 5. "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." The Lord sometimes is not too happy with his children. He chastens us. He reproves us. One time he started in, I had done something, I didn't think anything about it. And I was in meetings in California, and I left California, Bakersfield, by the way, Sister Nelda. And the Lord climbed in the car with me, and he gave me a chastisement all the way back to Oklahoma. And I thought, well, surely it'll quit when I get here. And he still spanked me for a while. He let me have it. I had to endure it mile after mile after mile after mile. And got here, and Brother Sammons was in a meeting and went to meeting, and I still got a whipping. Had to endure it. So he says here that it may endure His anger endureth but for a moment, but in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy. But joy. Now that night may not mean 7-8 hours. It could mean that, but it could also mean a longer period of time. But it said, but joy. What happens when you come out of the hard places? Is there blessings? Brother Michael, you ever had some blessings after you went through the hard trial? Sure you did. But you had to endure. But joy. Joy cometh in the morning. Another time in Green Bank when I was going through my affliction, and I was told that people were saying, why is a young minister having to go through what he's going through? That's what I've been told they said. And I don't know who all said what, but anyway, that's what I've been told. And they thought, why is Brother Carl having to suffer? He's just a young man, 34 years old. Why is he having to suffer? Why is he having to endure? And I was in Green Bank, and they had a tape going of some of the, I don't remember if it was the Green Bank Quartet. I think it was just the singing of the saints somewhere. I don't remember where now. And I was there, and there was a song come on, and the Lord started pouring it out. And again, I was so blessed, I was shouting and praising. Rejoicing in God. Right in the midst of the battle. I come out. They said, why? Brother Clifford Wilson told me, him and he had just married his second wife. They were out there because she was to help in the school out there for that time period, that next school year. And so they come out there at the latter part of August when I was still there. And he told me one day when him and Brother Salmon's praying for me, he said, let me tell you something, son. He said, these things that you're going through, that you're enduring, that you're having hard times, he said, you're going to take, it's going to be like a film strip that's got your little places in it. And he said, there's going to be times that as you go through life, you're going to need something that you suffered or that you went through, and you're going to pull that up and you're going to look at it and you're going to remember it. Okay. Whatever you say, you're older than I am. I tell you what, folks, I pull that up many a time. I'm still pulling it up 30 years later. You know why? Because that affliction set me to be a pastor. Because it helped me to understand, and I still use it. People say, I'm suffering so-and-so. I said, I can understand. I've suffered that too. I'd have never understood. Jesus would not be able to get out, folks. Jesus would not be able to touch us and bless us and cry with us, so to speak, if he hadn't have gone through what he went through. I'm going to tell you, I can sit and pray for people that's in distress. I can pray for people that's in grief and sit there and cry, maybe not even know them. Because the pain that I've suffered, the anguish, and I'm not bragging what I'm saying, I'm just stating fact. Listen, today you endure things for a reason. To help you to deepen, to help you to understand, to help you to know. But there's joy that cometh in the morning, praise God. The Lord's going to bless. It ain't always going to be hard and rough and tough. There's going to be some real blessings in it too. Oh, 1 Peter 2:17. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. And only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and you suffer it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable. you get it, if you do something wrong, get in trouble, ain't no big deal. You know you done it wrong, but when you're doing it good and doing it right, and you get called down for it, you get jumped about it, you get reproved for it, that hurts. That hurts. But you're still got to endure that. You've still got to go on, bless God. Jesus, there's not anybody lived a more perfect life than Jesus, and what they do to him. They didn't just pat him on the back. They said, what do you want us to release to you? We want Barabbas. We want Barabbas, and here the Son of God, the one with all power and glory, the one that had lived a perfect life. He was the King of kings and the Lord of lords. They didn't say, I want him, I want Barabbas. And I don't know that he ever thought that, but he might have thought, well, what have I done wrong? Why am I going to suffer this? Why are they picking on me? Listen, folks, sometimes the devil gets people stirred up. It happened to the people in Acts. The devil got people stirred up, and they was causing all kinds of problems. The disciples really hadn't done nothing but preach the truth. So here we are. We're doing everything the Lord wants me to do, and you're getting clobbered for it right and left. You're getting chewed up, spit out. You're getting knifed in the back. You're getting shot at. You're getting arrows in your back, so to speak. You're having all this problem, and you hadn't done anything. Said, endure it. Endure it. Here, I'm going to give us another scripture I hadn't even thought about. Let's see here. It's in Matthew, All right, it's in the 5th chapter, Matthew 5, and about the 11th verse. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Amen. Now, does it say you're supposed to climb and hold and die? It said, no, it says rejoice. Woo! Be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. For you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. But ye are a light of the world, and a city that set on a hill cannot be hid. Said, rejoice, be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, praise God. Listen, folks, when those hard times come, Lord, help us now to love him enough, to endure it enough, to be able to rejoice and shout and praise God right in the depths of the battle. You know, if you're doing that and somebody's watching you and they know what you're going through, that just helps them. Say somebody's going through a real battle just like you, and they're sitting there just quiet. As Brother Bob Solis said one time, we don't need to come to meeting with a hangdog look. We need to be rejoicing. We need to be praising God. That wasn't too long before Brother Bob died and went on to heaven. You need to have the joy and everything. Joy cometh in the morning. It said rejoice when they're shooting at you and gunning you down. Lord, help us. I'm preaching God, because I go through some things too. It ain't all roses with me neither. And all the ministers do. But the bottom line is today it said rejoice when you're getting clobbered, so to speak. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be willing to endure some things. And Lord, help us to rejoice in the midst of the battle. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and 1. 2 Timothy 2 and 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now then, we're chosen. We're a chosen vessel. And he says here, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Now, I've never been on a literal battlefield. I've never had bullets flying over my head. I don't know anything about that. But I do know some of the spiritual side of it when the bullets are flying. But it said, endure hardness.
Amen.
As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we're not called by the president or the army or the navy or the Marines or whatever. We're called by Jesus Christ. And he wants us to be willing to endure. Just like he'd no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, when you're in the army, I could be wrong about this, but I don't think I'm too far off. You're centering on one thing, being alive. You're centering on one thing, doing what the commander says. You're centering on one thing. This is a war. I'm fighting for my country, and I'm fighting to win. So consequently, I'm going to center on the things that are very important. My life is at stake. Listen, folks, today our spiritual life is at stake. If we don't endure hardness as a good soldier, we need to center on the deal. We need to center on the victory. We need to center on the things that need to be and say, Lord, I'm coming on. Praise God. I'm moving on. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to do what the Lord would have me to do. Oh, today, Lord, help us to be a good soldier. Would you be a good soldier this afternoon? Could the Lord come in here and walk down through and say, oh, this one, oh, they're good soldiers. I appreciate them. Could he walk by you and pat you on the head and say, you're doing a good job? 1 and 12 of James. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Blessed is man that endureth. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be times that things are going to crop up. Come around. And they're going to be there, and the devil's going to do everything he can to get you and I to slip up. To get you and I to turn around and walk away. Get you and I to do what he wants us to do. But it said, endure, go on. Don't turn and give in, but keep going. For he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. There is a reward at the end. What did Paul said? I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Today, you and I need to fight a good fight. We need to keep the faith, for there is laid up for me a crown, which the Lord shall give to me and to those also. Listen, there it is coming. Listen today, there's a crown, there's an end, there's a blessing, there's heaven. There's a sister that's sitting right here in this building many years ago. She went down her road to go home. And her road was not what you would call a smooth interstate highway. It had some chug holes, and it was bumpy, and it was a little bit rough. And she's going down, and she's thinking about all the, as she's going through it, and she got home, she got thinking about it, and she got a good blessing out of it. Our spiritual highway ain't always smooth neither. I don't remember everything she said, but anyway, she got her blessing. Hey, I'm headed home. There is an end. I'm going to get there. I'm going to fight the fight of faith. I'm going to do what the Lord would have me to do, praise God. And she kept going. She's still here today. It ain't always been roses for her neither. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 4 and 5. Let's wrap it up here pretty quick now. Time's running out. People may be getting hungry. But watch in all things and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist to make full proof of thy ministry. Here he's telling him, Paul is telling Timothy, that watch out on all things, endure afflictions. How many of you like to be sick? Anybody love to be sick? Lord help us. Endure afflictions.
Yes.
I've got some things wrong with my body right now that I'd like the Lord to heal every one of them.
Yes.
But he hadn't done it yet. And sometimes I think some of it's getting worse instead of better. Endure. Endure afflictions. Now, there is things that we could do sometimes to help that. There is doctors out there that can do things. But with my father, he was on his deathbed. They had done all they could do for him. And the doctor called us in. Mother, I believe Mother and Craig and I, maybe Kim. I don't think the twins weren't there, I don't think, at that time. But anyway, called us in. And he pointed up and he said, I've done all I can do. He said, it's up to him now. Doctor said that. I've done all I can do. We've done all they can do. Listen, folks, when you get down to the bottom line, Christ has death in his hands. He has life in his hands. And there ain't no doctor going to keep you alive when it's time to die. And there ain't nobody going to kill you if you're supposed to live. Amen. He's got the power of life and death in his hand. Look at what the sister said. Doctor said this and this and this. What's she doing? She's walking. What's she doing? She's praising God. What's she doing? She's enjoying the blessings of salvation. Listen, doctors can say a lot of things, but Jesus has said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Wes Elwell. So I believe it was Wes Elwell out in Phoenix, I believe. Several years ago, had a heart attack. I may not be just perfect on this, Cousin Quita. But anyway, Brother Steve and some of them called the saints for prayer. And he wasn't doing too well. In the same hospital, one of the most decorated heart surgeons in that whole hospital, maybe that whole area, maybe the whole state, he had a heart attack too. The doctors there done everything in their power to keep that man alive, and he died right under their hands. And Wes Elwell, because of the mercy of God, come out of that hospital alive. I'm going to tell you today, life and death is in the hands of Christ. Oh, today, endure afflictions. Lord, help us. Help us to endure some things. Help us to endure some things. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 2:10. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now the writer is saying here, I endure all things for the elect's sake. The elect here, if I understand it right, is talking about people. Right there, he's talking about, I believe, the Gentiles. So I'm enduring things for their sake. Not my sake, but for theirs. That they may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. I endure all things. Lord, are we willing, or help us to be willing to endure some things for the others. To leave an example. To have some things that they can look at, they can follow, they can say, he done it. Look at what he went through. If he can do it, I can do it. If he can live it, I can live it. You don't know who's watching you. Young people, you say, well, nobody's watching me. Oh, yeah, they are. I am. Used to, I'd look it up at the old one. Now that I'm looking down at the young ones. I'm not an old man. I ain't no youngster anymore neither. And so watching, I want the young ones to come through. I want those that get up here and sing. I want them to have the victory. I want them to live the life. I want them to be able to do what God would have them to do. We have gone for a span of time for no young ministers coming on to recently. And what are we doing? I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm rejoicing. I'm praying for those brethren, sisters, that the Lord would bless them and use them and keep them, because we need them. Some of us ain't going to live forever. We're going to go on too. Just like Brother Leslie, and Brother Pruitt, Brother DeRice, and Brother Egbert, and Brother Murphy. We're going to die. One of these days you'll go to my funeral. But I want you to know, Lord, help us to endure some things for some other people. All right, let's go to James 5. James 5 and 9. James 5 and 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall in condemnation. If any among you afflicted, do what? Pray. If any merry, let him sing songs. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now it said here, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, look at, consider, weigh. We count them happy which endure. What did Job get at the end? Did he get a mere penny or a dime or a dollar? No, he got about twice of everything he lost, didn't he? That's a pretty good blessing, isn't it? If you had $50,000 in the bank and you went through some things and the Lord blessed you another 50, that'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? If you had lost a house and got two, if you had lost 5,000 camels and got 10, if you had lost thousands of sheep and got twice that many, that'd be a pretty good reward. That'd be good. The Lord wants to reward you. He wants to reward you. He said, take my brethren. Listen, let's go back. I wasn't going to go back to this scripture, but let's go back to this 12 and 1 of Hebrews, where it says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We are compassed about, folks. This whole thing is a group of people that you and I have watched for years. We've studied. We've examined, so to speak. We've watched them endure. We've watched them hurt. We've watched them. Listen, the Lord wants that same cloud to go on forever to the end of time. He doesn't want it to stop. He wants others to be able to look at you and to me and say, I want to do it too. All right, last scripture, 89 and 18 of the good book of Psalms. 89 and 18 of the good book of Psalms. There's quite a bit of reading here. I may see if I can condense this down. The Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to the Holy One, and says, I have laid help upon one that is mighty, exalted one, chosen of the people. I have found David my servant with my holy oil, and I anointed him. When whom my hand be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I'll make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment. The 36th verse also says, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as a son before me. Now then, he said, his seed will I make to endure. Now I could be wrong, but I think partially that's talking about you and I. All the way tied back into Abraham, all the way down to David, all the way through Christ, and all the way down to us today. It started when God laid a plan of salvation way back there. And he laid it out, and Christ said, I will go. I will be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you think when Christ said, Father, I will go, do you not think he knew what he was going to have to go through? Do you think he knew there was going to be scars? There was going to be pain and anguish? But he went. I will go, Father. I will do what you want me to do. There is a plan. It's got to be executed. I'm the one chosen to do it, and I will do it. Said he prayed all night. Have you ever prayed all night? Have you ever prayed 2 or 3 hours? Up in the night. Or maybe during the day. But it started way back here. And he wants it to go all the way to the end. And he wants to use you and me in between to endure. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Pray for me. I appreciate your time and prayers.